increase by association, meaning that there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. And when I had you go around and greet everybody and say you're about to increase, the reason why I did that was because it takes for you to increase, yes, your relationship with God, but there's always going to be relationship with others that's going to help you in that process to increase. What I'm meaning is you don't do it alone. Amen? You never do it alone. And so the law of increase by association. And whenever I was preparing this and studying for this, I specifically felt like when I was studying it that there was going to be people here on this Sunday that are either you're in business or you're going to be going into business for yourself one day, and this is the, you really need to understand this principle. It's huge. And I'm just going to start off, this is the main scripture that we're going to look at today, and this is Proverbs 13, verse 20, out of the Message Bible, and it says, "Become wise by walking with the wise." Everybody say, walking with the wise. "Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces." That's Proverbs 13, verse 20 out of the Message Bible. And the word walk I wrote down there means what the translation of that from the Hebrew into, you know, that word walk has a lot of meaning to it in the Hebrew, but it means a pursuit of a course of life. So become wise by walking with the wise. So I don't know if you ever heard that saying, if you hang out with the eagles, you'll be an eagle. If you hang out with the turkeys, you'll be a turkey. You know, you want to hang out with the eagles. And this is where, whenever I was studying for this, this walking with the wise, and there's a difference, and this is where I'm going to talk about this in the business sense. There's a difference between walking with the wise and working. Walking and working. Meaning that you can have somebody, if you're an employer, you can have somebody working for you, but they don't walk with you. Does that make sense? Meaning they don't have your heart. And so you want to make sure as an employer that the people, or, you know, even if you're in business and who you're hooking up with and doing business with, you want to make sure that that person has your heart and not just we're working together. Giving an example, I had a situation happen a while back where I had somebody that was wanting to me to go to work for them, and I later found out by doing some research that the reason that this person wanted me to go to work for them because they wanted to use my good name to help them in their business, and it was basically to use me. Okay, and I had to decline that position because it wasn't going to be a healthy situation. Hello, is everybody out there? All right, and so so what I'm wanting you to realize is when you need to pray, you need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, the word says, meaning you need to be prayed up, you need to have discernment, you know, when you're doing business things. Do I need to really work with this person? Because does this person walk with me? Does this person have my heart? Does this person have my principles? Does this person have my values? Because if they don't, then you don't need to hook up with them. Because somewhere down the road, it may look all good and there may be a lot of money involved or whatever, but somewhere down the road, there's going to be a derailing and it's going to hurt you instead of help you. And I just felt like I needed to share that right up front as a warning for somebody. I know it was for me as well, okay? So does that help somebody in here today? I hope that's some good wisdom for somebody. But I'm going to give you 3 points today, 3-point message, and this is the first one. They're kind of lengthy, so I'm going to leave it up there for a while. And I'm going to say this. I will email you all of my notes, okay, in the scriptures that go along with this. But this first one, I've got several examples that I'm going to share with you out of scripture, so we're going to look at a lot of scripture on this first one. But here's the first one. This law of increase by association will work for us and cause increase and blessing if we intentionally align ourselves. Now, that's a huge word, intentionally. Intentionally align ourselves with people who are ahead of us in the things of God and in life. So, I can remember, Lomas came in today, and I can remember going to her house after church on Sundays for Sunday dinner, and Lomas can cook. It was very good meals. But I also went there because she had an awesome library in her house of Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, all the Word of Faith teachers. And I devoured books at her house. She'd let me take them with me, you know, and I'd take them with me and I'd study them. And I just could not get enough of studying. And it was something that God put in me, but I just couldn't get enough of learning this. And I actually learned this principle from one of the Word of Faith teachers, which was Jerry Savelle. And it has helped me in life. But this law, the law of increase by association. But here's what I found out. Even though that I didn't get to basically sit underneath their ministries, like I didn't get to go, you know, to their churches or, you know, when they spoke. I've been to Jerry Savelle a few times when he spoke at Enid up here. He spoke at Pastor Cody's church a few times, and I went to sit underneath his teaching. And I'm telling you what, here's what I do. I'm just going, if I need faith and my faith is kind of low, I listen to I like to listen to Jerry Savelle. And so I listen to a lot of Jerry Savelle to get my faith built back up. And so that law of increase comes by association. When I was reading those books, I was associating myself with their ministry and learning from them. Even though I wasn't in their church, I was sitting underneath their books and underneath their teachings and learning. And you can do the same. And you need to get hooked up for example, I was talking about my son-in-law here for just a second, Cameron. And one of the things that has been prophetically spoken over him, even before him and Tay ever met, him growing up, that it was to do with finances. And so here he went. He went to college based on a prophetic word and took, you know, financial classes. He was going to be a financial advisor. He did all this. And so he's been in the family for a few years now, him and Tay have been married. And so at Christmas, there's one of the gifts that we give each other is a book. And so every Christmas, he's asked for a book about developing a mindset towards finances. And so this last year, I think it was a book on a millionaire. You know, he wants to develop this mindset of having a millionaire mindset because he wants to be able to, that's what he feels like that God's called him to do. And he's doing that. He's walking it out. So, but this law will work for us and cause increase and blessing if we intentionally align ourselves with people who are ahead of us in the things of God and in life. It don't just happen just automatic. You gotta get hooked up with people that are believing the way that you're believing. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right. Let me give you a few examples. Here's the first one out of Scripture. If you're taking notes, just write down the Scripture reference. And like I said, I can email these to you. But this is in Genesis 30, verses 27 through 30. This is the story of Jacob and Laban. And this is where Jacob is basically working for his wife, Rachel. And you can go back and read this story, and I just want to highlight these Scriptures. And it says in verse 27, it says, "And Laban said to him, 'Please stay if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned,'" listen to this, "'for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake.'" He's basically said, because you've been working for me, Jacob, God has blessed me. Verse 28 says, and I want to just ask you this, have any of you had your boss tell you this? Josh, has your dad told you this yet? It says in verse 28, "Then he said, 'Name me your wages and I will give it.'" Because Jacob was such a good employee that when he was in Laban's house, everything in Laban's house prospered because Jacob was there. And it says, so Laban says, "Then he said, 'Name me your wages and I will give it.' So Jacob said to him, 'You know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little and has increased to a," everybody say increased, "increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house?" There's a good, if you're working for somebody, and you ought to be of value. You ought to add value to that place. And everybody said amen. There ought to be increase happening because you're there. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then increase ought to be on your life, not decrease. And everybody said amen. And so that's the story of Jacob and Laban. That anointing of increase was upon Jacob because he was the God, you know, that we say in the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the, you know, he served the one true God. Okay, here's another story in Scripture talking about the increase, the law of association. Numbers chapter 27, verses 18 and 20. This is the story of Moses and Joshua. And it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." Then in verse 20, we'll see this again over in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, the same story says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." Guys, there's something about the ministry of laying on of hands. There's something about it. Joshua wasn't born with this wisdom. It was given to him by Moses laying his hands on him. Moses wasn't given this wisdom at birth. This anointing for wisdom came from God Almighty. And there's this ministry of laying on of hands, of imparting things into people. If you're a dad in here, you need to do that with your children. Everybody said amen. Lay your hands on them. Pray over them. I'll never forget, we have a picture of I don't think I've ever shared this here, but I've got a picture somewhere of my dad and I went on a men's retreat. It's been several years ago up in New Mexico. And there was I can't remember, one of the speakers was talking about, you know, a father's blessing and things like that. And during the message, the Lord spoke to me to tell my dad, "Dad, I want you to lay hands on me." I didn't know this, but God was speaking the same thing to my dad. And of course, we bunked together. He found out that his son can outsnore him on that trip. And he's like, "My gosh." But anyway, but when we got home, it was so neat. Dad told me the story in his life where God had, he said, "My first really encounter that, if I'm telling this right, that I had with God was out here on Mockingbird Hill." And he goes, "That's where this 160 acres out here northwest of Leedy." He said, "I had an experience, you know, just praying." He goes, "I remember out here on this little hill one night praying and looking up at the stars." And so we went out there one evening, and Jada took a picture of it, where I was knelt down on the ground, and my dad had his hands on my head, and he was blessing me. And guys, it was powerful. It was a powerful moment, and I've got that picture somewhere in my phone. But do that with your children. And everybody said, amen. Pray over your kids, bless them, that laying on of hands, and that law of increase, that association, bless the next generation. All right, here's another story out of Scripture, and this is the third one. This is at Elisha and Elijah, when Elisha follows Elijah, and that same spirit came upon him. In 1 Kings 19, verses 19 through 21, it says, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, what have I done to you?'" Because Elijah was just basically being obedient to God, and God had told him, "I want you to go anoint Elisha." So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Then over in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' And this is when Elijah went into heaven in the fiery chariot. And Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.'" And in 2 Kings 2, verse 15, it says, "Now when the son of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him," talking about Elisha, "they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him." So there again, there's that law, that increase by the law of association. And if you go on to study the life of Elisha, he did exactly two times the amount of miracles that Elijah did. Here's another example in Scripture. I call these the 3D Christians. This is David and his mighty men. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented." Those are 3D Christians. All right. The ones that are in distress, debt, and discontented gathered to him, were gathered to David, so he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. And if you go on to study this, these guys came to David, who was anointed to be king of Israel, and because they got around David and associated with him, they no longer were in distress, they no longer were in debt, and they no longer were discontented. They became the mighty men of Israel. Then the 30 mighty men of David are a part of that because they got around somebody that was anointed and it had increase upon their life. Now, this is all examples of how this works in the positive, but I want to tell you something, and I'm not going to spend very much time on this because I don't like being negative, but this works in the negative too. This law, this is number two, this law will work against us to restrict and impoverish us if our main relationships are with those who do not honor God or his spiritual laws. Okay? And now, I'm not saying don't leave here, because I know for us to make a difference in the world, we got to go out there and shine our lights, all right? I'm not saying, but don't let their light envelop, their darkness envelop your light, basically is what I'm saying. So you have to be wise in this. So this works in the negative too. As long you can get around anointed people and you can increase in your life. You can get around people that love God and that rubs off on you and you love God even more and you're more passionate for God. But you can get around people that don't love God like you do and it can rub off on you. Amen? It really can. I've seen that happen to too many people. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, what we just read earlier, that the B part, the second part of that scripture, says, hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. There's also a scripture in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So if you hang out with turkeys, guess what you're going to be?
A turkey.
And we want to hang out with eagles. We want to hang out with those that want to soar with God. And that's all I'm going to say about that, all right? Because I think everybody gets that. We understand the negativity. Now, here's number three, the last point of today, and we're going to spend a little more time here too. This law will bring us into a greater intimacy with God because it helps us discover that he is the greatest association that we can have and that we will become like him and become blessed by being in his presence. So we got to have that association with God Almighty. I should have put that first, but I chose it to be last because I want you to get this point. And this is Moses. In Exodus 34, verse 35, it says, whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God. And here's the deal with Moses. God wanted to speak to all the children of Israel, not just Moses. But because they were scared and fearful, they I'll put it another way, lazy, they wanted Moses to do it for them. Moses, you have the relationship with God. Tell us what he wants us to do. But that wasn't God's best. God wanted to have a relationship with every one of them. And everybody said, amen. He wants to have a relationship with everybody. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, this is a scripture in the New Testament that talks about just what I just read about Moses. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what I want to tell you guys. We ought to be different than the world. People ought to be able to see Jesus on us. People ought to be able to say they've got peace. You know, you may be going through something, but they've got peace. They have hope. They have joy when I don't have anything. I want what they got. And what's sad is most of the body of Christ is exactly like the world or even worse. But God wants us to be that mirror of him to those people that are out there that need Jesus. And when people see me, I want them to immediately think of the Lord. Amen. And it's not just because I'm Pastor Mark, it's because I'm a Christian. I want that to rub off on people. I want to have that association. Acts 4, verse 13 says about the disciples, says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I love that. The people realized that they had been with Jesus. Have you ever had somebody look at you and say, I realize you have been with Jesus? All right. Guys, here's the next scripture. I know we're in summertime. I know there's ball games going on. I know there's vacations going on, and I'm not. We did all that as well. But do not, here's what I want to caution you guys as your pastor, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And here's what I want to tell you. A lot of times you come to church and you know, I love those Sundays where you feel like, golly, man, you know, worship was on point. Pastor Mark actually had a really good message that Sunday, you know, and it really spoke to me. And just, you know, just an awesome service. And you go home and you're just like, yeah, I've been in God's presence. But even in those Sundays, and today may be one of those Sundays, because I've had those Sundays where you come to churches like, golly, it was just like I was treading through mud to get through my message today. And not because of you guys, but because of me and where I'm at and my walk with God, or I've had a busy week or whatever. But here's the deal. Even in the midst of all that, even when you feel like, okay, it wasn't a great Sunday, worship wasn't great, Luke, you did an awesome job today in our praise team. The message was horrible. Everything was, you know, and I go home. But here's the deal, guys. Even though you may go home and you think, man, I didn't get anything out of today's message, you got something. Maybe it didn't speak to you personally, but you still got something because the law of association with other believers rubbed off on you, that law of increase. So that's why you need church, even on the days when you don't feel like coming, you know. And I understand there's going to be family things. You need to go take vacations. You need to go to family reunions. You need to do all those things. But don't get in and out of a habit. I was talking to somebody this week, and I was just telling them that I hadn't seen them in church, and I just wanted to reach out to them and say, love you guys, and, you know, pray everything's going well. And this is what they said. We got out of the habit of going to church. You've got to stay in that habit because it's real easy to get out of it. Thank God I'm the pastor, so I have to be here every Sunday because it is. It's an easy habit to get out of, and I understand that. And so that's why you need your pastor reaching out to you and bringing you back in. But don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because even if you don't feel like you got anything, you got something. Even if you felt like, okay, Pastor Mark, I slept through 15 minutes of your message, I got about 15 minutes of it, you still got something. Even if you slept through all of it, you still got something. It went in there subconsciously. All right. Now, here's what I want to close with today. And this passage of Scripture has always amazed me, and it's in the Old Testament. And some of you that know your Bible have heard this story. But I kind of entitled it, What Happened in Obed-Edom's Home? Obed-Edom. Now, this is in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I'm just going to read a few verses of this. This is where David is bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and they're doing it wrong. And I don't have time to, this is a whole other message. They're not following the exact way that God told them to do it. And so in verse 11, it says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months. And look at this. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. This time David figured out how to get it done. He's like, hey, Obed-Edom, you've had your 3 months. I'm bringing you to my house. And now, this story amazed me because the ark was in his house for 3 months. And it says his household was blessed. And if you look there in verse 12, it says, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him. And so what I want to tell you is that people were seeing this. His neighbors, people in his community, they were realizing this guy is blessed because of God Almighty. Now here's something. This is even in the Old Testament, so I want you to catch this. Obed-Edom did not do anything to deserve it. The only thing that he did was welcome the presence of God into his home. That's all he did. And that this is a picture of the grace of God. None of us in here deserve it. None of us do. But if we will welcome the presence of God into our home. And it's not going to be like the Old Testament. Every one of us in here are carriers of the Ark of God. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then God Almighty abides in you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you can take Jesus, you can take the Lord home with you, and your home will be blessed. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. It's the grace of God. Because Obed-Edom didn't do anything to deserve it, but he chose to welcome the presence of God into his home. If you'll welcome the presence of God into your life, in your home, God will bless everything that you put your hands to and everything that belongs to you. And everybody said, amen. How many is going to carry Jesus home with them today? Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. I'm going to make sure that you carry the Lord home with you today. And the scripture in Romans chapter 10 says, the Apostle Paul told us how to, just like Obed-Edom, is all we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just got to welcome Jesus into your heart and into your life. And so I want to have the privilege and the honor of leading you in that prayer, and this is the prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved today and you know that you have a relationship with the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me, and you rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. Jade, I want you to come up here with me, please. And Jade and I are going to speak a blessing over you this morning. Is everybody increasing by the law of association with the right people? Amen. All right, I'm going to speak this blessing over you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said, amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and say, you are increasing. Amen. Good to see everybody this morning.